On a black background, the title appears in green block lettering, Mona Lisa and the Blood Moon. Opening title sequence in front of footage of a dimly lit bayou covered by a canopy of trees.
You're so like the lady with the mystic
sky. Sky presents a Sky original, starring Kate Hudson as Bonnie, Jun Jong So as Mona, Ed Skrein as Fuzz, Evan Witten as Charlie, and Craig Robinson as Officer Harold. Written and directed by Anna Lily Amapour. Audio described by Tyra Cooper.
Or is this your way to hide a broken heart? Many dreams have been brought to your doorstep. They just lie there and they die there. Are you old? Are you real, Mona Lisa?
Mona, a young East Asian woman, sits on her knees on the floor of a white padded room, her arms restrained back in a straitjacket. She bows her head and kneels beside a single bed in the quiet, empty room. Mona sits motionlessly, her head bowed and her face covered by her long, straight, jet-black hair. Her eyes are closed. Mona slowly begins to move. She tips her head, rolling it from side to side. Mona wriggles in her straitjacket. Mona gasps and opens her eyes. She looks around the empty padded room, appearing confused. She stands up and climbs onto the bed as she looks around the room. Mona kneels on the bed, pressing her back against the wall. A nurse walks through the halls of the asylum. Mona tries to move her restrained arms. Mona jumps off the bed and peers through the door's glass window. The blonde nurse opens the gate to the advanced security unit. She locks the gate behind her. Mona kneels on the floor. Obnoxiously chewing gum, the nurse enters Mona's cell and locks the door behind her.
How you doing tonight, stupid?
She slaps Mona's head.
I said, how you doing tonight? I asked you a question, stupid.
She pushes Mona to the floor.
Oh, God.
She grabs Mona's foot and drags her, then sits beside her on the floor.
What's up? Oh, me? I'm doing just fine. Thanks so much for asking.
The nurse opens a grooming kit containing a metal comb, nail clippers and scissors. She begins cutting Mona's toenails.
You know I got paid to get my nails done. Does that make any sense? I mean, honestly, who gives a shit what your feet look like, right? I mean, you give a shit? Hello?
She taps Mona's head.
No, you don't give a shit. That was why this country's in the toilet. I gotta do your nails to make money so I can do my nails. How does that make any goddamn sense at all?
Mona flinches in pain.
No. Hey! No. No! That did not hurt. You better hold still, though. I'm gonna show you what hurts.
Mona pulls away from her. She gets on her feet and looms over the nurse. Mona stares at her intensely with her big, dark eyes.
What's that? Stop.
Mona looks at the nurse's trembling hand as she grips the nail cutters. As Mona lifts her head, the nurse slowly raises her arm holding the nail trimmers. Mona throws her head down and the nurse stabs herself in the leg with the metal nail cutters. Mona repeatedly lifts and drops her head as the nurse continuously stabs herself in the leg. The nurse crawls along the floor, leaving a trail of blood. Mona hovers over her.
Oh, my God. Please. I'm so sorry. Please.
Please. Oh, my God. I'm so sorry. Come tie me.
She turns around, and with shaky hands, the nurse loosens her straitjacket. With her arms now free, Mona grabs the keys from the nurse's pocket and unlocks the cell door. A male nurse sits at a desk eating cheese puffs and intensely watching TV. Mona creeps through the corridor behind him.
Hector.
Mona opens the door and walks up to the startled man behind the desk. He backs away from her.
Give it to me.
What?
Give me some.
You want these?
He slowly walks towards her, holding out the cheese puffs. She grabs a handful.
Tastes good, huh? Yeah. There you go. There you go.
The man presses a red button, sounding an alarm. Mona covers her ears. She slams her hands down onto the desk and glares at him. She twirls her fingers, and the man slowly turns around and walks up to the TV. Mona lifts her head and thrusts it forward as the man slams his head against the TV. He collapses to the ground. Mona grabs a handful of cheese puffs and runs out of the room. She walks out of the asylum and pauses as she looks up at the night sky. Mona stares at the large full moon glowing in the cloudy night sky. Three teenagers stand around a car, smoking, drinking, and listening to music. They spot Mona.
Dude. Look.
Still wearing a straitjacket, Mona approaches them.
You okay? Want a drink? Get her a beer.
You want a beer?
It's tasty.
Have a beer. It's just a beer.
Mona grabs the beer and downs it.
She likes it.
Yes. Damn. Hey, give me your shoes.
I can't take his shoes.
I said, give me your shoes.
All right, all right.
Just walking around in her bare feet, man.
I know, I have small feet. I get it.
Gentlemen for once.
Why do you always gotta? Why do I always have to take my shoes off?
Wait up. Wait. Second. Wait a second. For you.
She hands Mona a pair of black Converses. She puts them on.
On the other side of that fence, after you get around the bayou, you'll see the train tracks. You just follow them, they'll take you right into New Orleans.
Well, there's a blood.
Good luck.
And in the cold room, it's a good night.
Her face dewy with sweat, Mona trudges along the train tracks. She walks along the bayou, her reflection rippling in the murky water. Mona navigates through the bushes alongside the bayou. The reflection of the moon shines on the surface of the dark water. The moon glowing in the night sky behind thick, dark clouds. Mona continues to walk along the train tracks, pausing to look up at the full moon. She eventually sees city lights shining in the distance on the other side of a large lake. Fireworks explode over the lake, bursting with colour in the darkness. Mona watches the fireworks in awe. City. She stands on the pavement as a tram barrels past her. Mona walks across the street, a car narrowly avoiding her. Officer Harold, a middle-aged black man, sits in a restaurant eating food.
Attention all Nolan's units. Stand by for broadcast. We are looking for a violent 103M. Escaped a few hours ago from the home of mentally insane adolescents. We got a photo coming through the wire. Look for that on your cellular. She is described as an Asian female, possibly in her 20s, brown hair, brown eyes. Exact age is still being confirmed. Subject is mentally unstable with severe schizophrenic psychosis, and she is considered dangerous. All units responding, use extreme caution and notify dispatch upon visual confirmation. Over.
Harold looks at a picture of Mona on his phone. He walks out of the Chinese restaurant. Harold opens his fortune cookie and reads the small piece of paper. Forget what you know.
Okay.
Headquarters to Unit 101, please respond.
This is 101, Harold in service. Go ahead.
Hey, Harold. We got two disorderly females out in front of the Esplanade Market. Owner called it in. Seems one of them is highly intoxicated and close to unconscious.
Copy. Lucky me.
Full moon tonight, officer. Gonna be a busy night.
Copy. En route.
Harold gets into a police car, the moon still glowing in the sky above him. Mona approaches a group of men outside a convenience store.
Man, look at this thing right here.
Under the table, it's crazy.
It's okay.
Say no shit.
Is it Halloween? I forget something. Yo, come on, here's up. Hey. What you doing over there? Why you hiding? Why you come over here? What's up?
Tell me, man. I'm going to hit her. Look at this DM right here.
What's up, baby? I said, what's up, girl? Where you going? No, you don't touch people's fries. No.
She paces in front of the men.
Yeah, what you need, babe? Oxy, Cody, okay? What's up?
She stares at the men coldly before walking off.
I like your jacket. Where you going?
Fuzz, a young Caucasian man wearing a tie-dye t-shirt and flip-up sunglasses, follows her inside the convenience store. Mona looks around the store, her dark, greasy hair falling in front of her eyes. Mona stops to look at a bag of gummy bears before continuing to walk down the aisle. Fuzz follows close behind her. She spots a bag of cheese puffs and grabs it. She looks up at Fuzz watching her.
If loving is a crime, then I'm fully convicted. God made ice for looking and I'm fully addicted.
She opens the fridge and grabs a can, struggling with the long sleeves of her straitjacket.
Hold up. Let me grab one of those.
He leans over her, grabbing a can. Mona looks him up and down.
What's up, girl?
She walks off, quickly heading towards the exit.
Hey, excuse me. You gotta pay for that stuff. You gotta pay for that. Get your ass over here.
She tilts her head, staring at the shopkeeper confused before walking towards him.
Come on! What's the matter with you? $4.55. As in $4.55. You have any money?
No.
Why are you in my store?
I'm hungry.
Well, that is just too bad. Step aside, please. Come on, lady, move.
Yeah, let me get a pack of them menthol smokes. And this stuff right here, too.
It's your money, player.
It's all good. I got you.
The shopkeeper hands Fuzz his change. He walks out of the shop with Mona trailing close behind him.
Man. Yo, I gotta tell you, the outfit is lit, y'all. I mean, like, what you wearing? But that's some straight-up next-level shit right there. Yo, where your friends at? But you ain't got no friends?
She shakes her head.
Is this little old you? All alone in this big bad world? What's your name? For real, you don't want to tell me your name? I just bought you cheese puffos, didn't I? Come on, Uncle.
Can I have them?
He holds them out of her reach.
You can have them. Yeah, let's go to my car, though. Come on.
She follows him round the corner, passing two drunk girls squatting on the floor. Fuzz opens the passenger door and Mona gets into the classic muscle car. With the seats and steering wheel covered in zebra print, a tiny disco ball, and other eclectic trinkets. Fuzz gets into the driver's seat. He switches on a plasma ball lamp. Mona looks at the red circular lamp. She strokes it, intrigued as it reacts to her touch. Fuzz smiles as he watches her.
For real, you ain't gonna tell me your name, huh? Man, that's alright.
My name's Fuzz. See, they call me that because I'm soft. Fuzz.
He takes her hand, rubbing it along his jaw.
See?
She strokes his head. Mona attempts to grab the cheese puffs.
Yeah, you want these real bad, huh?
He blocks her hand.
Can I get a kiss first? Come on. Just one little kiss? And that ain't nothing.
Why?
See, I don't know. You tripping. I like you.
You like me?
I bought you those chips, didn't I?
Mona looks away, bewildered. Fuzz looks deeply into her eyes as he slowly leans towards her. He seductively licks her mouth. Mona awkwardly mimics him as she licks him back. He caresses her cheek as he kisses her. She kisses him back before abruptly pulling away. She reaches for the cheese puffs.
One check only for your mind, huh? Come on, man.
He opens the crisp packet and hands it to her.
There you go. Hey, take this. There you go.
He hands her a drink. On patrol, Howard approaches the girls sitting on the floor outside the convenience store. One of the girls vomits.
Let me see some IDs, please. Give me her ID.
She's
She don't feel good.
I can see that.
It's her birthday. She just drank too much.
Believe it or not, you're not allowed to vomit on the sidewalk, even if it is your birthday. It's a $100 fine.
No, $100? No.
I don't trip, though. They just fucking with those drunk girls.
Man, somebody's got to clean that up, right? It's going to cost money, right? That's what this is.
Hey, what you getting into tonight? I mean, there's some shit going down at this warehouse later. And DJs and stuff. Mostly like dubstep, though. You like dubstep?
We're just trying to get home, and we don't really know our way around. Give us a warning.
Sign up with
that. That shit's dark. It's like music for goblins and shit. It's a real cool space, though.
Take off your shirt.
Take off my shirt? You want me to take off my shirt? Shit, I'll take it off then.
Fuzz eagerly takes off his t-shirt. Howard looks over at Fuzz's car.
What you wanna do?
She takes his t-shirt and gets out of the car.
Yo, don't go.
She got it all out.
Sign that with
you. Why are you moving so fast? Yo! Yo! Can we just fell in love right here? You gonna leave like that? Yo, give me your name, Elise!
Fuzz closes the car door and drives off. Harold follows Mona.
Miss!
Hiding from Harold, Mona quickly darts behind a shipping container. He turns on his torch.
Miss?
He finds Mona wearing Fuzz's t-shirt.
Hey. Hey, I see you. I see you back there. Come out here. Come talk to me. Come on, I just want to talk. Come on, come a little closer so we can talk. Come on, it's all right. There you go. I'm not here to hurt you. I'm here as your friend. Just want to talk to you. All right? There you go. Come on. Good. See? It wasn't so bad, was it? Some people are really concerned about you. Afraid you might hurt yourself or somebody else. So you're gonna come with me, all right? Come on, yeah, you're gonna come with me. Put everybody's fears to rest. Just gonna put these on you. Just some handcuffs, all right? Just a precaution.
No.
Look, you're coming with me, all right? So we can do this the easy way or the hard way. It's up to you.
She stares him down, slowly approaching him.
Good, good, good. You have nothing to be afraid of.
Harold's arms flop to his side, dropping the torch. Mona lifts her arm and Harold copies her.
What the fuck? What are you... What the fuck?
She opens her hand and Harold drops the cuffs.
What?
Seemingly hypnotized, Harold grabs his gun as Mona matches his movements.
What do you want? The easy way?
No.
He involuntarily lifts his gun above his head.
Or the hard way?
Please. Please. No. Please.
Harold shoots himself in the leg. He falls to the ground.
I'm not going back to that place.
This is Officer Harold, 101. Officer down. I've been shot in the knee.
Hey, Harold. Was the girl armed? Hey, what happened, buddy? Harold.
So, the bullet entered the back of the leg. There is some cartilage damage, some muscle damage, some nerve damage. Luckily, the bullet missed your kneecap, officer. That's a wrecking ball at close range.
Harold lies in a hospital gurney. Wearing nothing but Fuzz's tie-dye t-shirt, Mona walks up to a fast food restaurant illuminated with neon lights.
He was with her?
Right.
Mona peers through the restaurant window, her hands pressed against the glass as she watches a couple eat. Mona stares intensely at the man eating.
She's scary.
Inside the restaurant, Bonnie, a blonde waitress, leans against the counter wearing red hot pants and a white fishnet crop top. A man on a date leers at her. His girlfriend glares at him.
I see you, Ray.
What?
I'm looking at her.
Man, you tripping, Irene.
I'm tripping?
Yeah.
I'm tripping. I'm fucking tripping.
Doing all this with all these people over here, man.
Shut the fuck up. I always do shit like this. Watch this.
Irene.
Bonnie leaves the restaurant carrying two drinks. Irene walks up behind her and shoves her.
Why are you looking at my man, bitch? Fuck! Can I not just eat a fucking hamburger in peace, please? I'm asking you a question, bitch.
Come on, Irene.
Asking her a simple question.
Let's just go.
I'm sorry, what was your question? You think you can look at my man like he's gonna fuck you? Yeah, that's it exactly. I want him to fuck me. You're just a small brat, bitch. Ain't that right? Just a thirsty country hoe. Climbed about the mud.
Come on, let's just go home, man.
You want to know what your man's thinking right now, don't you? He's thinking what my pussy tastes like. The fuck did you just say?
Oh, I think you heard me.
Fuck this shit. I'm going to fuck you up right now.
Irene takes off her earrings.
Come on. Bitch. Bitch. Bitch.
Irene and Bonnie fight, grappling each other.
What's up?
Bonnie grabs her long hair.
Let go of my fucking hair.
Shit. Oh, come on.
Yeah. Fuck you.
The women fall to the ground. Mona slowly approaches them.
Yo, chill, bro.
You like that, huh?
Chill out. Yo, chill. You fucking up.
Fuck you, bitch.
Irene knocks Bonnie's head against the pavement. She stops. Irene looks at her hands with long, colorful acrylics before slapping herself in the face.
Oh, shit.
What are you doing? Irene, what the fuck are you doing? Why are you hitting yourself?
She grabs her hair and throws herself to the ground.
You're not doing it, Ray?
Yes, you are doing it. I see you with my own eyes.
Bonnie watches Mona moving her head in time with Irene's punches.
Oh, chill. What are you doing?
Stop hitting yourself.
Chill out.
Back in the restaurant, Bonnie cleans her head wound with a tissue. Mona sits with her eating a burger. Bonnie watches her curiously as Mona absentmindedly gazes out of the window.
So what, are you like some kind of witch or something? How'd you do that?
I don't know.
But like you can just make him do whatever you want? You could control all the fucking pricks out there with just your mind? I mean, wow. I knew something freaky was gonna happen tonight. I can just feel it, you know? And it's a full moon, I like feel it in my ovaries, I swear to God.
Mona stares at her blankly as she messily devours her burger.
You don't really sound like you're from around here. I mean, you live in New Orleans? I'm not going back there. But did you like run away from somewhere? You're gonna sit right here. Come on, sit down. It's okay. Just relax. It's fine. It's fine. It's all right. Sit down. Come on. Come on. It's all right.
People stare at Mona.
Hello? Would you mind your own fucking business and turn around and eat your own food? Just eat your food. Turn the fuck around. Hey, you okay? Honestly, you don't gotta tell me nothing. It's none of anybody's beeswax, including me, all right? So just relax, eat your fries.
Mona quietly continues to eat. Later that night, Bonnie and Mona exit a taxi outside a busy city street. Bonnie walks through the crowds of people trailing a suitcase behind her. Mona follows.
Happy cities, y'all. Happy cities.
Monitor, have some titties now, have some titties.
Bonnie approaches a man selling tickets outside a strip club.
Hey, Jackie. Hey, baby. Hi, baby. Hey. This is my new friend, Mona Lisa.
Hey. Mona Lisa.
I got you a strawberry milkshake and Dr. Pepper. I didn't know which one.
Hi, Mona Lisa. Yeah. Have some titties, y'all. Have some titties.
All right, fellas. Tastiest prime rib in New Orleans.
Say, look, come here for a second. Get
don't forget our $3 hot and spicy wings, $4 Jaeger bombs, and of course our $10 hookahs. Get your dollar bills ready because next up on the stage, sweet and vanilla ice cream, the American wet dream, Bonnie Bell.
Mona sits inside the dimly lit pink neon strip club. She watches Bonnie wearing silver heels and a skimpy outfit, grinding on stage against a pole. Men sit around the stage, smiling as they leer at Bonnie, sprawled against the stage wearing a long blonde wig and a thong. Mona watches her mesmerized as she wraps her legs around the pole and twirls. Showing off her multiple tattoos covering her thighs and lower back, Bonnie crawls along the stage on all fours. She lies down in front of a man, dropping her foot down in front of him. He places money inside her heels. She seductively writhes on the floor beside scattered dollar bills. Bonnie crawls to the front of the stage, pulling off her white fishnet crop top, revealing a skimpy metallic bikini underneath. Mona watches her intrigued.
Alright, fellas, give it up for Bonnie Bell! Tip in for the strip, and that's how it works here, guys. These ladies are making a living off what you do. Like I said earlier, I want you guys to reach down in your pockets, grab those dollar bills, don't be shy, and make it rain on these ladies.
Mona watches Bonnie as she collects her money from the stage floor. Bonnie gives a man a lap dance.
She's gonna have to work for that tip, man.
Oh my god.
All right.
Really?
It's $40. Yep.
That ass, man.
Yeah.
Okay. Fuck yeah.
I know we're not allowed to.
There you go, girl. It's pretty good.
Thanks. What's that for?
It's a tip.
Oh, yeah? $2.
$2. And how about saying thank you?
Now I can get that pack of gum I've been saving up.
It should have been your birthday.
You're supposed to hook this motherfucker up with that shit,
I think that was
good. You've
been here too many times.
That's why. All right. Give it up for
$2.
She's got an ass like a pumpkin. Make you want to put a face on it. I want to thank everybody for coming out this Wednesday evening here at the Panty Drop. Plus, we've got a lot of ladies here for you tonight.
Yeah.
Next up on the stage,
Tappages.
Put your hands together for Marguerite.
I like to watch them.
Yeah?
You are pretty.
Bonnie lights a cigarette.
Thank you.
What is this place for?
What's it for? It's for guys. They pay to watch girls dance, take their clothes off and stuff.
Why?
Because they like naked girls.
Mona looks around the room intrigued.
Because you are pretty?
Yeah. Because we're pretty. Yeah. Because we're really fucking pretty, aren't we?
This is Mona Lisa. I wanted her to meet you guys. Is that okay?
Yeah, she's not our type.
That's okay. She's never been to a strip club before, so I was just explaining to her how it works. Like, naked girls are the best thing in the world, right? Your favorite.
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
Like, of all the pretty things, the entire planet... butterflies, waterfalls, rainbows, etc. Naked girls are the best, right?
The fuck is she talking about? Yeah, I mean...
Remember when you tipped me $2? That wasn't enough, was it? Was it? So what you're going to do is you're going to go into your pocket and your wallet. You're going to take all the money out and you're going to hand it over.
What?
Yeah, to properly show me your appreciation.
Nah, I'm not.
Yeah, you are.
Man, this chick's fucking crazy. Fuck that.
Mona, you want to help me out with this a little bit?
Under the light of a pink neon sign, Mona locks eyes with one of the men.
Randy. Randy, what the fuck are you doing?
But don't give her that money. What are you doing, bruh?
Giving me money. Hey, Romeo, take your wallet out. Show your appreciation.
I'm not
buddy.
Giving
Come
you
on.
My money.
Yo, he's not giving you his
money. What's wrong with you, lady? He said no.
She zeroes in on another guy.
Bro, what are you doing?
I don't know. I'm not doing this. I'm not giving her this money. Shit, I can't move now.
Babyface, take your wallet out.
I don't know how to explain it.
Thank you very much.
Come on.
You guys are the fucking best. You made my night. This is so great.
Whoa, no. You. Give us some money back, you cunt.
Excuse me?
You heard me, bitch.
Whoa, you just called me a cunt and then a bitch?
Called you a cunt.
Hey,
bitch, give us some money.
No one, you got this.
No, she scammed us. This bitch scammed me.
Get the fuck.
She fucking scammed us. Get your fucking hands off.
You fuck that.
Get the fucking hands off.
Bonnie and Mona wave goodbye to the men as they are escorted out. At the end of the night, a cleaner mops the floor and strippers count their tips. Mona watches Bonnie as she counts her wad of cash, handing some to the bouncer. The full moon shines bright in the sky outside Bonnie's small blue house. Bonnie makes the bed as Mona curiously looks around the dark house. A young boy walks down the stairs. Mona watches him.
What are you doing up so late? It's 4 in the morning.
I heard noises.
This is my son, Charlie. Say hi, Charlie.
He waves at Mona. She waves back, copying him.
All right, Mona. You can sleep here, and this is the remote for the television. It's volume channel. Get some juice in the fridge. Just make yourself at home, all right?
Mona squats close to the TV, flicking through the channels. Bonnie pours herself a drink.
The secret is Waterpik's patented whitening infuser technology.
Charlie approaches his mum.
I don't have any clean shirts.
Then you need to do your laundry.
I don't have any money.
I'll go get my purse.
He grabs her bag and hands it to Bonnie.
All right. So, that girl in there made mommy a lot of money tonight. All right? Let's not fuck it up, okay? Okay? Don't fuck it up, all right? Be nice. Going to bed. You need to go to bed. Super late. And I think you got school in the morning.
Allow 30 seconds for the can to discharge fully, then unscrew the nozzle.
Charlie watches Mona still flicking through the channels.
According to the Pentagon.
Wait, zone guides you through different levels of resistance to...
Strains, we in turn would give them a degree of sanctions relief. That to me would be the possibility of real diplomacy. It wouldn't solve the problem. I might cap it or manage it. That would be meaningful. What we saw the other day, no. That in and of itself is...
She watches a news report on Donald Trump and footage from a war zone.
Highlighting the international nature of the Iranian threat.
This was an unprovoked attack.
Bonnie washes Mona's hair as she sits in the bath. She plays with the bubbles in her hands. Officer Harold flicks through Mona's file with a picture of her as a child and a note that says, no birth certificate. He picks up a photo of Mona from the asylum with the initials M. Lee. Harold flicks through her paperwork. He finds a page stating prone to violent incidents, maximum security surveillance recommended, and multiple foster care statuses rejected.
What else can you tell me about her? Like, what kind of patient was she?
Like having no psychomotor activity, no interaction with the outside environment, nothing. It's like being dead when you're still alive.
And she's been in here 12 years.
12? I mean, yeah, she came here at 10. But that was before I was here, so I don't know what she was like then. But for the past 10 years, she ain't did nothing but drool.
She asked you for chips, and then you pressed the alarm.
I pressed it then, yes.
Then you walked over to the monitor, hit your head, knocked yourself unconscious, during which time she escaped from the building?
You do know my drug test came back clean, right? I was not high or drunk that night.
Something else happened that night, right? Something you're not telling anybody else about?
What happened? I don't even know what happened. She was standing there looking at me, and I was staring at her eyes, and she did something to me. It felt like a fever, like a cold chill came down inside me, and I could not move. But then I felt myself moving. She made me hit my head on the TV. I couldn't even control my own damn body. You know what? I can't explain it. Just know she was doing all of it. You think I'm crazy, right? That's what I would think, too, if I was you. You want to know the truth? Well, I think that girl is a demon.
Demon?
Yes, like a for real life demon. She possessed me.
Using a crutch, Harold hobbles up to a colorful building and knocks on the bright red door. He enters and talks to a middle-aged black woman wearing golden hoop earrings and a head wrap. She holds a snake.
So what is it then? Do you think I was possessed?
Look at you dying for an explanation. Trying to give everything a name. Fooling yourself into thinking you're in control, boy.
It ain't right. That's the fact. She can't be out here just running loose, something like that.
That girl. The same as she was yesterday and the day before that. Fact is, the only thing that's changed is you.
How do I stop her from doing it again?
What makes you think I can stop her?
Is there any way to protect yourself from it?
She strokes the snake.
Here, take this chicken leg, put it over your dough. Matter of fact, there's a whole bunch of them over here. Take them.
That's it. Talk a bunch of mumbo jumbo with a snake trying to look all smooth. Some chicken feet. That's the best you got?
Well, the best way to protect yourself is to leave her alone. Besides, you don't pick voodoo, son. Voodoo pick you.
All right, him. See that guy? Remember what I said, right? You remember? Now, come on.
Hey, excuse me. Is that working now? Because I ate my car a second ago.
Yes, it's working.
Aww. Look at your cute dog. Do it now, Mona.
She hypnotizes the man in front of the cash machine.
Make him push the buttons, I say. Withdraw.
What's happening?
Be quiet. Savings. 500. There you go. That's right, Mona. Thank you.
Hey, taxi!
Mona puts his card in his pocket.
All right, let's go. Hurry it up. Come on.
Mona leads him to a taxi. Bonnie hands him his dog. They wave as he drives off in the taxi confused.
I don't give it up for free unless you're going to give it back to me. I don't give it up.
They stand behind a woman at a cash point. She hands them a wad of cash, her eyes wide in shock. A man enters his pin into a cash machine. Footage from the machine shows Mona tapping on his shoulder, then staring deeply into his eyes. The man gives them £500. He shakes his head, coming out of his trance, then watches baffled as the women walk off.
I don't give it up for free.
At the police station, Harold limps to his desk.
Four different people, four different ATMs in the same day. I mean, something's up.
Yeah, a couple prostitutes scamming people in the streets is what's up. Surveillance video shows the whole thing. The guy literally hands over the money. He's just pissed he didn't get a blowjob.
One of the victims was a woman. Did she want a blowjob?
I don't know. It's a crazy world.
What y'all talking about?
So get this. Guy comes in here today and says that he got robbed by two women at an ATM. I said, how'd they get your money? With a knife? With a gun? How'd they get it? He goes, they hypnotized me. And the guy looked normal. Complete fucking nut job. I thought I was going to have to tase him to calm him down. I mean, can you believe this garbage? I mean, come on, it's normal. It's people out of their minds drinking daiquiris at 8 o'clock in the morning. Degenerates, drunks, and nut jobs everywhere.
When was this?
Earlier today. You want to see it? Yeah, go into the system, pull up the case file. It's there about 2 p.m. Can I have one of these?
He grabs a spring roll.
Did I say you could have one? No.
You're getting sleepy. I just hypnotized him. And he's sharing his egg rolls.
Damn it, Martin.
How's your need one?
It's got a hole in it.
And the gun just went off, huh? You gotta be more careful. I'm serious.
Hey, Pete, do me a favor. Pull up a picture of Mona Lee, the one who escaped from Homaya.
What you thinking, Harold? That the Chinese girl that hopped on me a couple days ago?
Mona Lisa Lee. She's not Chinese, she's Korean.
Oh, I know that one. That's Bonnie Bell. She's a dancer at one of the strip clubs down on Bourbon Street.
And how's it you know that, Martin?
Oh, come on, me? I never forget a face.
Which strip club?
I can't remember which one.
Bonnie sits at home eating Chinese takeout.
Put the blue one on.
Mona tries on a blue wig.
And then, like, put the orange glasses on there. The orange. Mm-hmm. Love that. Hey! Where you been? Huh?
Walking around.
Okay, well, I got you food and I saved you a fortune cookie.
Why is she still here?
Well, she's got no place to stay. I'm helping her out for a little while.
Since when do you help people?
Hey, what's the matter with you? Sit down. Eat some Chinese food. Relax.
I'm not hungry.
Okay, well, I'm save you an egg roll. I don't know, he's like on his period or something.
Mona looks up towards the loud music. She enters Charlie's room, finding him aggressively shaking, stomping, and dancing along to the music.
It's loud.
What do you want?
What are you doing?
Hashing. Do you mind?
What is hashing?
I don't know. It's like dancing aggressively. You know, like to metal.
Why do you do it?
'Cause I'm mad. Had a shitty day.
He sits on his bed. She sits down beside him.
Anyway, it helps. Gets the aggression out. You just freak out and it just feels good. So you don't stay stuck.
I want to do it.
He stares at her incredulously.
Show me.
He reluctantly gets up. She stands up. Charlie begins headbanging. Mona tries copying him, shaking her head.
Yeah, just loosen up. Let it all go. Let it go.
She flops her arms around, trying to loosen up. Charlie shakes his head whilst pretending to play the guitar. Mona awkwardly attempts to copy him. Charlie plays the air guitar. They both jump up and down. Mona stares at a drawing on Charlie's wall of a woman in lingerie heels and red fishnets squatting on top of the burning earth.
That's Hellfire. It's one of my favorites. The world's burning, she's burning. But she's dancing. She never lets the pain show.
Charlie sniffs Mona.
Is that your only shirt?
The next day, Charlie gets changed for a note at the laundrette.
So how'd you meet my mom?
She bought me a hamburger.
What do you think of her? Do you like her?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's pretty good at making people like her. If she wants. She hates me. Can you tell?
No.
She totally does. She blames me for everything. How shitty your life is and, like, all the stuff she never gets to do. It's all because of me. It's my fault.
Mona slowly approaches Charlie, standing directly in front of him. She touches his face. He pulls away.
What happened to your face? Oh, Polly Paulson. This kid from school. He's a total dickhead.
What's a dickhead?
Dickhead is like a totally lame person. They find what you hate most about yourself and make fun of you for it. Do you have any friends?
She shakes her head.
Do you want to go do something? What do you like to do for fun?
I like to sleep.
Yeah, it's sleeping's cool.
What do you like to do for fun?
You want to see? No, don't move. Hold still. Don't worry, it's almost finished.
Mona stands awkwardly beside Charlie as he draws her portrait. He occasionally looks up at her before continuing to sketch.
Mona Lisa, Mona Lisa, men have named you. You're so like the lady with the mystic smile. Is it only 'cause you're lonely they have blamed you? For that Mona Lisa strangeness in your smile.
He turns the sketchbook around, showing her his finished drawing. She picks it up, vacantly staring at it.
So Mona Lisa.
Or is this your way to hide a broken heart?
She carefully touches it, then smiles at Charlie. He smiles back.
Have been brought to your doorstep. They just lie there.
Mona and Charlie walk and chat through a beautiful park canopied by trees.
Are you warm? Are you real, Mona Lisa?
They stand on a small, arched stone bridge looking down at the water below. Later, three kids throw eggs at Bonnie and Charlie's house. Mona and Charlie approach the house.
But I just like drawing because it's soothing. I've been doing it all my life.
Hey, loser! Shit! Yeah, I see you, you little shit. And when I get you, I'm gonna beat the hell out of you.
Polly Paulson's that kid from school.
I know you can't hide.
The dickhead?
Yeah.
I'm gonna get you, you little shit.
Hey, what are you doing? Wait.
Mona strides up to the kid holding a carton of eggs.
Move.
Leave him alone.
I said move.
I said leave him alone.
Get out of my way.
Mona glares at the boy, hypnotizing him. She controls his body, getting him to pick up an egg and break it on his face.
What's he doing?
Confused, Charlie approaches as the boy breaks another egg on his chest.
Leave him alone. Do you understand? Not if you understand.
Come on, let's go! Come on, let's go!
Charlie watches speechlessly as the boys run away, terrified. Later that night, Mona and Charlie watch TV.
What kind of a creature are you?
Just a man.
A man?
Bonnie arrives home.
Oh, look at you two. Snug as a couple of bugs. I got pizza.
Mom.
Yeah.
Mom, I've got to tell you something about Mona Lisa. It's going to sound crazy. She has special powers. I'm talking like supernatural abilities. She could do mind control, Mom. It's amazing. I'm being serious.
Hey, you didn't say anything to anyone, did you?
No.
Good.
Wait, do you know about this?
Yeah, I know. She helped me clean house at the club the other night. It was amazing. She's a little miracle.
She's a fugitive, Mom. Don't you think we should help her?
I am helping.
You're not helping her. You're helping yourself.
She was on the streets, okay? I took her in. She likes it here. Everything's fine, all right? And hey, guess what? Who's the boss of this house? Me, not you. Quit bugging me.
So what, she's gonna stay here and live with us?
I don't know. Yeah, for a while.
Then what?
Then I don't know, Charlie, but you know, maybe I can afford a nice car. Maybe I can get you really nice paints.
Do you even realize how huge this is?
The second I walk in the door, huh? You gotta do this the second I walk in the door. I mean, one good thing happens to us. One good thing finally happens, and you've gotta be a pain in the ass.
Bonnie storms off. Mona socks Cheeto dust off her fingers as she watches a movie. In the film, a woman rips an astronaut's spacesuit. He then collapses to the ground. Mona watches intensely as the woman kicks the astronaut into space. In her bedroom, Bonnie does her makeup. She slicks down her hair before putting on a long brown wig. Bonnie saunters over to the wardrobe, wearing a red revealing, sparkly skin-tight dress.
All right, you ready to go? Get your shoes on. Let's go.
Come on, yeah, put this on. You gotta go. Put your glasses on, too.
She doesn't want to go. She wants to watch the movie.
She can finish it later.
You don't own her.
I know I don't own you. I just ignore him. He's been a brat for some reason.
He's just using you to make money.
Hey, quit it, all right? No, I'm not.
That's the only thing you ever care about. Money. Don't act like you care about her. You don't give a shit about anybody but yourself.
Okay, wait a minute. What's this about, huh? What's up your ass, honey?
I can't wait to get out of this shithole and get away from you.
Yeah, well, there's the door. All right, knock yourself out.
Do you even see yourself? Look at you. Look at your clothes, all that shit on your face.
All right.
No one should be around you. You're toxic.
You know what? You're pissed. And you're being a jerk and you're saying things that you don't mean.
I do mean it.
I'm gonna let this one slide. So you're just a dumb kid. And as smart as you think you are, I'm smarter.
No, you're not.
Don't forget to lock this door behind us.
Come on, Mona. Let's go.
Mona and Charlie exchange a look. Harold hobbles through New Orleans lit up French Quarter, passing strip joints and voodoo stores. He enters a strip club. Harold approaches a stripper dancing on a pole in 8-inch heels.
Excuse me. You know a dancer here named Bonnie Bell?
No.
You know a dancer here by the name of Bonnie Bell?
Wearing a red revealing dress, Bonnie lies on stage in a pink tinted club. Money rains down on her as she smiles, sprawled against the base of a pole. Men surround the stage, seemingly in a trance as they throw money at her. Mona stands close by, staring at the men motionlessly as she controls them. Mona looks over at Bonnie, rolling around on stage, covered in money, as she laughs gleefully.
ATMs are fast, you know, but they're high risk. This is so cool, because it's easy. And then we just switch between the two and play low for a while.
A dancer wearing a bikini walks on stage. She looks around confused as the men all get up and leave.
Get the hell out of here, man. Sorry, I've got nothing left.
Dude, what the fuck is going on?
Y'all got some bad mojo in here.
I don't know what the hell that was.
Why'd they all leave? What the fuck is it my fault if they leave? Because I know you're doing some shit. All right, come on. Maybe they just don't like you, Dice. You know what?
600.
What? I ain't even tripping. All right. Because karma's gonna fuck you up, bitch.
All right, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Sleep with one eye open. punch your little watery eyeballs someplace.
Cheap ass lashes on my forehead.
Excuse me. You have a dancer here called Bunny Bill? Blonde?
Well, we got all kind of girls in there. Blondes, redheads, brunettes, cornrows, afros, redlocks. Yeah, we got all the flavors of the rainbow.
Yeah, I'm looking for a specific person. It's a police matter. Bonnie Bell.
I don't ring a bell.
Take a look around, right?
Yeah, that's $30. Well, I'm just playing. Come on in.
Harold heads inside. The bouncer messages Bonnie saying, heads up, cop in here looking for you, dude with a cane.
Oh shit, what the fuck is this?
Harold enters the dimly lit club. Bonnie peers out of her dressing room, spotting him. She grabs all her money and shoves it into her bag.
Shit, okay, come on, we gotta go.
You know I can find Bonnie Bell.
That's how that asshole is back there.
Don't lose me, sit right behind you, Mona.
Mona and Bonnie escape out the back door. Harold walks into the empty dressing room before heading to the back door.
Hey! Police! Stop!
Oh.
Hey!
The women speed walk down an alleyway leading out to a busy street. Harold chases after them down the alleyway.
Hey, look at that guy, look at that guy. In this place.
Bonnie leads Mona into a dark car park.
Shit!
Stop running!
Shit! Shit!
Stop! Did you not hear me screaming, stop, police?
Huh? No, I didn't hear anything.
So why are you running?
I'm just late, that's all.
This is one-on-one. Officer Harrell, 1028. I need backup. I got eyes on escaped mental patient Mona Lisa Lee. I'm at the south side of Bourbon Street at the alley behind Frenchman. See him back up now. Miss Lee, I need you to turn and face the wall. Now! Turn your eyes toward the wall. Your eyes and your hands.
Can I go?
No, you may not go. You turn around too.
Okay, I'm just saying I think there's been some kind of misunderstanding because I don't even know this girl.
You don't know who she is?
No.
Did you know who she was when you were at the ATM machines robbing people yesterday?
No. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay,
I don't.
Well, you can watch on the surveillance cameras then.
He throws her handcuffs.
Put those on her. Bend down slowly, pick them up.
She came into the club a couple of days ago, and I was being nice. So I gave her a place to stay and...
Quiet down!
I hardly
know
her.
Stop talking. Listen, put them on her.
I got it. Then can I go?
No. Put the handcuffs on now.
I really think that you should do this. Okay? I promise. Everything's gonna be okay. I promise. Just put them on. Just put them on.
What's the holdup?
He's a cop. What do you expect? Oh, my God.
Mona grabs the money.
What are you doing? Mona, I don't think this is the best idea.
I don't know what she's doing.
I don't think this is the right thing to do, all right?
This is mine.
All right.
Stay back. Stay back. Stay away from me. Stay away from me. Stay the fuck away from me.
Why do you think you're in charge?
That's not gonna work this time.
He holds out a chicken foot.
Because of this?
She holds up the handcuffs and stares at him. Hypnotizing him, he drops his arms.
Fuck. In a minute, there's gonna be 12 cops around here. What you gonna do then, huh? God damn it, whatever this is. Devil worship, voodoo, hypnosis. It's not right. You can't fix yourself by hurting other people.
She handcuffs him to a metal fence.
You like people? Do you like them?
What?
People. Do you like them? Do you like people?
Yeah. I like people.
Why do you like them?
I don't know. I just like them.
You like people and you don't know why? Maybe you don't really like them. Because people are not so easy to like.
She turns to face Bonnie.
I don't like you anymore.
Bonnie shrugs dismissively. Mona walks off.
Where are you going?
Mona runs through the car park, dropping money as she escapes. Bonnie stumbles after her. She pauses, removing her heels.
Hey, go get these keys off my belt. Here, help me out here. Go get these keys off my belt. Come here now. Help me with these cuffs. Go grab these keys.
I'm sorry.
Don't do this. Bonnie, don't do this!
She runs off.
Come back here! Fuck!
Bonnie hides round the corner as a police car arrives at the scene. Bonnie sneaks off down the road, still carrying her heels. She tries to hail a cab.
Yo! Hey!
Barefoot, Bonnie steps on something sharp. She sits on the side of the road and inspects her bloodied foot. Charlie lies on the sofa asleep, still clutching his drawing pad. He peers through the curtain before opening the door. Mona enters the house.
I'm leaving.
Why are you going now?
They're coming.
Who? Who's coming?
The police.
The what? The police? Oh, shit.
She chugs milk straight from the carton.
Where's my mom?
I don't know where she is.
I mean, this really sucks.
I like you, Charlie.
I know, I like you too.
Then come with me.
Wait, come with you?
Yeah.
Like, right now?
Let's leave this house.
Charlie opens a large jar full of money and empties it out. He then writes a note and leaves it on his bed before leaving the room with his rucksack. Bonnie walks down the middle of an empty road dotted with streetlights. A truck full of men follows close behind her. She looks back at the truck, nearing closer.
Hi.
Where are you going, honey? Come on.
She gets out of the road and walks along the pavement.
What's up, girl?
What?
Oh. What's up?
Hey, where you going, baby?
Yo, slow up. Remember us?
Yeah.
We want our money back, bitch. All of it.
Oh, come on. Are you serious right now?
I'm very serious.
All right, relax a little bit. Take it easy. Come on. All right. I got it. I mean, I might not have all of it.
No, you don't have all of it?
No, not on me. Come on.
That's a big problem for you.
She grabs a cigarette from her bag.
Look, I'll give you... There's no hard feelings here, guys. I'll just give you what I got, you know?
I don't count the shit, bro.
I mean, here's... I had more earlier. I can get more. I can go back and I can get
some more. No, you ain't going anywhere.
Stay
right here.
She looks around at the men uneasily and shrugs.
All right. You got a light, then?
Yeah?
One of the men lights her cigarette.
Yeah. Is he gonna fuck me? Should we get it over with? You know what I mean? Like, what is this?
Man, whoever said anything about fucking you?
Wait, then what the fuck? I told you I don't have any money.
A man whacks her across the face.
Fuck.
Yeah, you like it rough, don't you, bitch, huh?
The men take turns punching her in the face and stomach. She falls to the ground. Bonnie is repeatedly kicked.
Bitch.
Police patrol the busy back streets of New Orleans, where revelers dance along to buskers. Charlie trails behind Mona as they walk along a dimly lit suburban road.
What should we do? Okay, we need a plan. Or something. I have $2,000. Maybe we should, like, just stay at a hotel or something. I mean, lay low for a sec. What should we do? We need a plan. Like, where should we go?
Yeah, man, we can do that.
No, you want to hit that spot.
Mona and Charlie approach a liquor store. They spot Fuzz outside. Mona taps the shirtless man on the shoulder.
So didn't I tell you I was going to see this girl again? Yo, ask him. And I knew you was going to find me. You stole into my shirt.
He hugs her.
You know this guy?
What's up, Pipsqueak?
My name's Charlie. I'm tired.
Sit down.
Charlie looks concerned. Police enter Bonnie and Charlie's house. A framed photo of Bonnie and Charlie sits in the entryway. In Charlie's bedroom, a police officer inspects the drawings of scantily clad women covering the walls. The officer picks up the notes left on Charlie's bed beside the drawing of Mona. Fuzz drives with Mona and Charlie. He hands Charlie a lollipop.
So where do you guys know each other from?
Fuzz smokes as he drives. He looks over at a sleeping Mona in the passenger seat.
I'm pretty sure we're soulmates, homie.
Are you a drug dealer?
Now, why you gotta ask that?
I don't know. You look like one.
Well, I may deal some drugs once in a while, but that don't make me no drug dealer. I'm a DJ, baby boy.
Don't call me baby boy.
Don't call me no drug dealer, then.
So, where are we going?
First things first, take a bag set.
The tiny disco ball hanging in the car glimmers as Fuzz speeds along the dark roads. Later that night, Fuzz cuts Mona's hair. She looks into a mirror with the words, "You're doing everything you want," and smiles. Charlie sits in the bathtub as Fuzz applies green dye to his hair. He washes it out. With Mona's hair now in a shoulder-length bob, Charlie carefully applies her eye makeup. A large painting hangs in Fuzz's house of a full moon overlooking the bayou and dotted with illuminating mushrooms. Neon mushrooms form a spiral covering the ceiling. Fuzz opens the fridge and begins cooking fried eggs. A neon sign with mushrooms and the words "Eat Me" covers the fridge. Fuzz cooks in the dark kitchen dotted with neon lights, which illuminates his t-shirt and the various psychedelic artwork dotted around his kitchen. Fuzz garnishes the two fried eggs. He stands over the frying pan, smoking and dancing in his glow-in-the-dark t-shirt. He carefully plates the eggs and dramatically squeezes sauce onto the plate.
We have a new development. Search for escaped mental patient Mona Lisa Lee. Lee and another woman, identified as Bonnie Hunt, an exotic dancer at the Panty Drop on Bourbon Street, were seen together late last night by a police officer in the French Quarter. Police believe that Mona Lisa Lee is traveling with a juvenile male, age 11. Charles
Can you believe
Charlie
this?
Hunt. An Amber Alert has been issued for...
From the
Hunt.
News.
Lee escaped from a maximum security ward. She is
yeah.
believed to be armed and...
Hey, man, what's up?
The Louisiana State Police have launched a full-scale search for Lee and the young boy.
Yeah? Any information we'll be there in 15. Yo, you ready?
Mona and Charlie wait in Fuzz's zebra print car as he speaks with a man outside an adult store. He signals for Mona and Charlie to join him. They get out of the car.
Welcome to the warehouse.
Mona sits inside a photo booth having her picture taken. She stares into the camera curiously. Charlie poses, brushing back his newly green hair as the camera flashes. The next day, the sun sets behind the clouds as a full moon appears in the sky. Bonnie lies in a hospital bed, her face swollen and bruised.
Miss Hunt, you're in the emergency room. You were attacked last night and badly injured. Two fingers on your left hand are broken and you have four cracked ribs, so it's best if you remain still, all right? Please remain still. Good news is there appears to be no internal bleeding.
That's good news.
And as soon as you're stable, we'll send you in to operate on the fingers. The CAT scan shows no damage to the brain, although you do have cranial swelling.
My
and
kid.
The pressure may cause some discomfort.
Someone needs to call my kid. Can someone hand me my phone, please?
The police are here. They're going to talk to you about that. Officer?
What the fuck? Ugh, this guy.
Harold hands her Charlie's note.
What do you know about that girl? Any idea where they might be headed?
No.
You don't know where your son would go if he left home? Neighbor, relative, friends. Tell me something about Mona Lisa Lee.
I don't know anything about her, all right? I let her stay at my house for a little bit. That's it.
Do you realize I could arrest you right now, Miss Hunt?
Yeah, for what?
Harboring a fugitive wanted for violent crimes, not to mention multiple robberies you are an accessory to.
You can prove that.
Jesus, your 11-year-old son is right now with a very dangerous person. You're going to sit here acting like nothing's happening? Shame on you.
Oh,
shame
don't
on
talk
you,
to
lady.
Me like that. Fuck
I
you.
I told you I want to talk
no,
to you.
No. Your guilt trips are not going to work on me.
I know you right? were with her. I saw you with her. I chased you down a goddamn street. On one leg.
Honestly, you look like a really decent guy and stuff like that, but shit ain't all roses in my life. Yeah, shit ain't all roses for me, okay? Look at my fucking face.
I'm trying
the fuck?
To help you.
Does it look like okay? my life is going pretty good, huh?
Don't you want to find your son?
What the fuck is your question? Do I want to see my kid again? Is that it? That's
yes.
it. That's your question?
Do you want to see your son? Yeah.
Yes. I would like to see my kid again. I love him, and I'd actually like to see him right fucking now. That's what I really would
Then
like.
Help us!
Maybe I don't deserve to because I'm a shitty fucking mother! Why don't you just go ahead and arrest me? All right? I'm all yours. I'm right here. I've got nothing else to do but have a couple of surgeries.
Fast Mona and Charlie speed along a motorway.
Okay, people are gonna ask for your ID, so you always have to have it in your hand. And then, you have to buy tickets and go through security. You have to take off your shoes and stuff and put your bag in, this x-ray machine. Just follow me. It's easy. Then you have to put your seatbelt on and just do what I do. It's not that hard.
Are you nervous, homie?
No.
I mean, you seem nervous. Relax, huh?
I can't help it.
Y'all need those chill vibes, you know? Yo. Chew on this. There you go.
He hands them gum.
You know, if you look chill, you feel chill. And vice versa. You know, for example, see chewing gum, that's mad stylish, yo. I mean, look at you. Now you ain't worried. You just chewing, right?
Right.
Right. Alright, yo. We there.
Party people. Hey, put these on. Now, I'll put some music on here. Just some stuff that reminds me of your vibe.
He hands her an iPod.
Man, I hate goodbyes, man. You get me all teary and shit. I get a kiss? Come here.
Fuzz kisses Mona. In the back seat, Charlie awkwardly averts his eyes.
Thank you, Buzz.
I ain't no thing with a chicken wing. Hey, you listen to that first track real loud, all right?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I'm gonna see you in the sequel. Hey, little man. You got this.
Later.
Go on now, Pipsqueak. Go get it.
They get out of the car. Fuzz smiles, giving them a final look before driving away. Mona and Charlie walk up to the airport check-in desk.
Hi, can I help you?
What's the next flight out of here?
The next flight? All right, let's see. I've got a Cleveland leaving at 8:45. I have a Tulsa leaving at 9:55. Oh, and here's a Detroit with seats available leaving at 8:35. Starts boarding in 15 minutes.
How much for two tickets?
Two tickets? That's $883.
Mona hands her cash.
And cash?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, I'm gonna have to see photo ID of both travelers.
Mona and Charlie hand over their fake IDs. She inspects them carefully before typing at her computer.
Would you like window or aisle?
You like the window, right?
Yeah. All right, great. And what about you? Wolfgang?
I'll do window as well.
All right. Here are your boarding passes. That is gate A6. Down the hall to the right. And security, have a wonderful flight.
It worked. It actually worked. I just need to think for a second to sit down. I don't believe this. This is... I just gotta pee before we go to security. You stay right here. Don't move. I'll be back, I promise. Don't worry. I'm gonna be right back.
She remains seated. Airport security walk past Mona. Charlie heads into the toilet. He talks to himself in the mirror, trying to calm himself.
If you look chill, feel chill. Look chill, feel chill. Come on.
He looks over at a man washing his hands.
Sir, can I use your phone? Sorry, I just forgot to call my mom. It's a local number.
Sure.
Thank you.
The man hands over his phone.
I think it's him, Harold.
Back at the hospital, officers hand Bonnie her phone.
Give it to me.
Okay.
Give me the phone.
Just 1 second. All right. Got it.
Let me answer the phone. Come on.
Put on speaker.
Hello? Hello? Hello?
Mom, it's me.
Oh, my God, Charlie, where the fuck are you?
I'm not mad. I just want to know where you are, and I'm going to send someone to come get you.
Listen. I want you to do all the things you want to do with your life. Promise me that.
Charlie, what the fuck are you talking about, all right? You're freaking me out.
You don't have to worry about me anymore. Okay? I'm gonna be fine. Don't worry.
Where are you?
Just don't feel bad about anything.
I don't know. Charlie.
All right?
Charlie.
Bye, Mom.
Charlie, no. Don't hang up.
Don't hang up.
I love you.
Fuck.
What you got?
What the fuck?
We got it. They're at the airport.
Thanks.
You're welcome, son. Good luck.
You too.
We're en route to Louis Armstrong Airport, over. We're looking for an Asian girl and a 10-year-old boy.
brown hair, brown eyes. Put their pictures up in the system. Send all available units to the airport. Get them to check those departing flights. Let's not miss this one, guys. All right? Notify TSA as well. We do not want to miss this one, people. Let's move. If you see this girl, do not look in her eyes. I know it sounds weird. Just don't do it.
Charlie and Bonnie go through airport security. The guard checks their IDs.
Thank you.
Mona removes her glasses.
Thank you.
All right, everyone, pick up your shoes, put them in the tub.
Yep, laptop, tablet, any of that stuff, put it in the tub. Make sure you don't have anything left in your bag.
Let me get your backpack.
Charlie removes his shoes and backpack, then walks through security.
Step two, please. Step two.
As long as we don't
have a layer. Here we are. Let's go.
Mona places her shoes and personal items in the tray before hesitantly walking through the metal detector.
Step over here, ma'am. Raise your arms, please. I'm gonna fix you. Hold on, Charles.
Check your passport. She's patted down by a woman. Harold pulls up outside the airport. Mona grabs her items from the tray. Harold hurriedly limps through the airport. Mona grabs her suitcase and walks towards Charlie. They fist bump. Harold and the other officers look at the departure board.
All right, check Dallas, Tulsa, Detroit. Check all IDs. Everyone on board. Let's move.
Yeah, we need an officer to check IDs on flight 644 headed to Detroit.
Now, Sheldon here, gate A6 to Detroit. I'm on it.
Keep your eyes open for a juvenile boy.
Copy that.
We just need to ask for everyone's cooperation.
Cooperation for what?
This is a police matter.
I think people have a right to know what's going on.
This is a security precaution. You need to check IDs on every passenger.
Charlie and Mona join the back of a long queue onto the plane. Mona and Charlie look nervous as people have their IDs checked before boarding the plane. Harold searches the crowds as he walks through security.
Okay, we need to close these into one line. One line, please.
The queue grows shorter as the passengers board the plane.
Once again, this is the final boarding call. Flight 644 to Detroit at gate A6.
Charlie looks torn as he looks up at Mona and then back at the gate. He anxiously chews his gum. He looks around the airport, his eyes beginning to fill with tears. He hugs Mona. She looks down at him startled as the tears stream down his face. He whispers please. Charlie walks out of the queue, dropping his boarding pass on the floor. He runs off towards an Asian woman, grabbing her hand.
Help! Help! I'm Charlie Ann! She kidnapped me! I'm being kidnapped!
Step away from the child! Step away from the child! Ma'am! Step away from the child! Right now! Ma'am! Let go of the child! Get your hands up!
Oh my God!
Turn around! Do not make me ask you again!
No.
Mona watches as the police swarm around the woman. She reaches the front of the queue.
There's always something in this city.
I don't know this kid.
Where's your boarding pass?
In my bag.
I guess they got him. Enjoy your flight.
Mona boards the plane.
Oh, they got somebody down here.
I'm going to sue you. I'm going to
calm down. Calm down. We're going to take you down. We're going to fill out some paperwork. And you'll be on your way, okay?
Whatever.
Harold looks at the woman.
Not her. Where's the kid?
Mona walks through the plane. She looks at her ticket as she tries to find her seat. She pauses in front of a large man. He gets up to let her in.
Yeah. Excuse me, sir.
He helps put her suitcase in the overhead locker. Harold interrogates Charlie.
You in a lot of trouble, son. Some serious trouble. I know you two were getting on the same flight. Now, if you're smart, like I know you are, you'll tell me exactly what flight she's on.
Charlie closes his eyes.
It was Tulsa.
Tulsa.
We got a 1020 on that Tulsa flight.
Copy that. On it.
A passenger helps Mona with her seatbelt.
Look, see this point? Okay. And see this? The other one? Okay, put it in that. Here, click. Yeah. Pull it tight open. Tight. Oh, that's tight enough. It's your first time flying, huh?
Freaking stuck here because you can't tell the difference between two Asian women? That is so freaking racist. Like, really? I'm gonna tweet, Facebook,
ma'am,
Instagram.
I need you to call.
I have to be
down
somewhere tomorrow. Like, I need to go.
We just did a sweep of the Tulsa flight, and that's a negative ID on the Tulsa flight. All clear.
So you're gonna lie to the police now?
I'm not lying.
What flight is she on, Charles?
I swear I don't know.
Tell me what flight she's on, goddammit!
Take it easy, Harold.
He knows.
What are you doing?
He's lying. You can't see that.
I'm not.
Charles, tell me where she is.
What are you doing, man?
You think she's your friend? Well, she's not. Tell me the truth. Where is Mona Lisa? Where is she?
I don't know.
Jesus, he's a kid. Take it easy.
He's full of shit is what he is. What's this Tulsa shit? Why are you making up stuff? Where is she?
Charlie trembles, terrified.
I just want to see my mom.
Well, we'll get you back with your mom, okay?
Later that night, Harold stands outside the hospital. The red emergency sign across the building illuminates the car park. Harold looks down at the fortune cookie he opened earlier. He reads the fortune. Forget what you know. Disappointed, Harold looks up at the large full moon shining above the hospital. An officer escorts Charlie to his mum.
And she's looking kind of rough, but she's ready to see you, okay? So you can go on and see her. I'll be right here if you need me, all right?
Holy shit.
It's okay. It's okay.
What happened to you? What happened to your face?
You scared the shit out of me, okay?
But what happened? Like, did you get run over by a car or something?
Nah.
Look at your hair. What happened to your hair? It's green.
She hugs him. Charlie weeps into her shoulder.
Oh, watch my ribs, watch my ribs. Ouch. Oh, baby. Oh, Jesus, Charlie.
Flight 644 to Detroit, Michigan. Our total travel time this evening is 3 hours and 45 minutes, give or take. That puts us into Detroit at just past 2 a.m. I'm your captain, and it's a pleasure to have you on board.
Mona listens to Fuzz's iPod. She smiles to herself, nervously chewing her gum as the plane violently shakes. Deeply, leaning back as the plane takes off. Mona peers out of the window.
I would love to see them and run and make a scene.
bypass the plane as Mona gazes out the window. Flies through the clouds overlooking the dazzling city lights, heading towards the large glowing blood moon lighting up the night sky. The plane eventually fades into the darkness. A bouncer sits outside the strip club eating food. He spots the men who beat up Bonnie walking past.
Ooh, fucking New Orleans, man. Dude, let's hit up at Mr. Ed's Oyster Bar.
Say something, my dick's getting hard thinking about these oysters. I'm about to smash all 50 of them fuckers, bro.
All right, we'll go to the other spot now.
Hey!
No.
Oh, fuck!
He punches them both in the face, then signals for them to move along. The bouncer continues to eat his food like nothing happened. Mona Lisa and the Blood Moon. End credits roll. Audio described by Tyra Cooper. The end.